Peter chapter 5. Tonight we complete the book of 1 Peter, and not surprising that the final passage is about suffering, which is what 1 Peter's about. So notice 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. The Bible says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called you into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." So after that, ye have suffered a while. Let's pray. Lord, use your word in our lives this evening, we pray, to teach us and to grow us. And Lord, may we just get a hold of this great truth that you are in control and that the suffering is all part of your plan. And Lord, and rejoice in that. So we ask that you would truly be glorified in our time and your word this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Just by way of review, since we're finishing the book of 1 Peter, let's have a quick peek through 1 Peter and just see all the things that God said about suffering and just get a hold of this fact that Peter wanted us to be ready because it was going to happen. So let's just walk through these chapters quickly. Chapter 1, look at verse 6. I want you to see that 1 Peter, it's about suffering. And as we'll see tonight in chapter 5, it's God's will. Notice verse 6. "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Chapter 1, verse 11. "Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow." Chapter 2, verse 19. "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." Chapter 2, verse 23. "Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself in him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Chapter 3, verse 14. "But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." Chapter 3, verse 17. "For it is better, if the will of God be so, that if you suffer for well-doing, than for evil-doing, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Chapter 4, verse 1. "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." Chapter 4, verse 12. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." And then chapter 4, verse 19, "Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." 1 Peter is about suffering. And he finishes tonight by reminding us here in chapter 5, verse 10, the God of all grace. Praise, we just sang about it. He giveth more grace. And when we suffer, you know what we need? We need grace to endure the suffering. And God tells us that. "Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace." Hebrews 4:16, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help when? In time of need. Well, when we're suffering, it's a time of need. and God gives grace. He's the God of all grace. Remember what he told Paul when Paul asked him to remove the thorn. He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee," in 2 Corinthians 12:9. So God is the God of all grace. He gives us the grace to go through the suffering. He reminds us here in verse 10, "He hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus." Heaven's already done. We're going there for Christians. So we're going to suffer on earth, but heaven is sealed. And as we saw when we went through the book of Ephesians, we're already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're already in heaven, in God's mind's eye. But then this little phrase in chapter 5, verse 10, which is really like a summary statement of the whole book. "After that ye have suffered a while." Psalm 34:19 says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." We are going to have a lot of afflictions. Now, most of our afflictions are for what we're going to talk about later, to perfect and to strengthen and to settle us and to establish us. Some of the afflictions we go through are for other reasons. For example, the Bible says you reap what you sow. If you smoke for 50 years and get lung cancer, you're reaping what you sowed, right? And some of the suffering that we go through, we are reaping what we sowed. And that's a biblical principle, Old Testament, New Testament. Some suffering is that. Some suffering is just because of the fall. You know, the older we get, the more aches and pains we have. More suffering we have in that area. Why? Because our bodies are wearing out. They're falling apart. You know, arthritis, that's part of the fall. And sometimes suffering's just because we're humans and we're falling apart. Some suffering is persecution. We read about that in 1 Peter and other books, that we're going to be persecuted for our faith. Some suffering is for chastisement. But when that happens, we know that God is dealing in our lives and trying to bring us back to Him because we're not listening. And so He brings chastisement. But most suffering, so that's four reasons for suffering. Most suffering, though, is for refinement, perfection. And that is what Peter's talking about in this verse. "After that you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." What is he telling us? He's telling us that suffering is good for us. And he's told us that over and over in the book. But God wants us to be perfected. In other words, made more like Jesus. God wants us to be established. In other words, grounded. God wants us to be strengthened. More mature in our faith. God wants us to be settled. To let the peace of God rule in our hearts. And he's telling us that after that we've suffered a while, God can use that suffering to accomplish those goals in our Christian walk. In other words, it's good for us. So he says to perfect you, first of all. In other words, to refine you. The Bible says in Romans 8:29 that God wants us to be conformed to the image of his Son. He wants us to be more and more like Jesus. He wants to continue to perfect us. And he often will use pressure and heat to do it, which is suffering. We read this recently on Sunday morning. "Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory," in 2 Corinthians 4:17. So it's one thing that suffering accomplishes is it perfects us. Another thing it does is it establishes us. In other words, gets our roots deeper, gets us grounded and solid in our faith. God uses suffering to accomplish that. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, "The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." He will establish us, get us grounded. Then it says not only perfect and establish, but strengthen. Anybody here need to be stronger? Take suffering. You know, when you work out, you're essentially breaking down the muscles so that they'll come back stronger, right? That's why there's some pain involved. God wants us to be stronger. There's got to be some pain involved. And he says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And then look at Isaiah 40, verse 31, where God reminds us that we have at our, I don't know what word to use, I was going to say disposal, but that's the wrong word. At our fingertips, we have infinite strength available through our Lord. And often that strength is increased through suffering. Notice Isaiah 40, 31, very well-known verse. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Strength. They shall mount up with the wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God wants our strength to be renewed. And He often will use suffering to make that a reality. So after that, you suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen. And then He finishes by saying, settle. Settle you. Look at Colossians 1, if you would. You know, there's too many Christians out there that are unsettled. They're running to and fro after every wind of doctrine. They're just not settled. God wants us to be Christians that are settled. And He says here in Colossians 1:23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Sometimes it's going to require suffering to get us there. And so, what is He telling us in this passage? That the God of all grace, in other words, the God who loves us and has made available to us infinite grace, the God of all grace, as we read in James 4:6, He giveth more grace. He wants to perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle us. And He's very often going to use suffering to do it. After that, you've suffered for how long? A while. How long is that? That's up to God. You know, that passage of 2 Corinthians 4:17 we looked at recently. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it says. In God's, when God looks at it, that 10-year suffering you just went through is a moment. Because we're going to spend forever with God in heaven. And the short time we spend on earth is going to seem like nothing. But it sure doesn't feel like a moment. We're in the middle of it. But it says, after that you've suffered a while. In other words, as long as God deems necessary. And it's going to be different for every trial. But the good news is, we can trust in the fact that God knows how long that while needs to be. Amen? And probably a big part of the while has to do with how we respond to the trial. If we respond with, thank you, Lord, I needed this. I know that this is your will, and I'm trusting you. It'll probably be shorter than if our response is, Lord, I'm angry at you, and this shouldn't be happening in my life right now. We're not learning. We're not being established and strengthened and settled and perfected. We're instead responding improperly, which means it might have to be a longer while or a different while, but it's going to be there. So after that, you've suffered a while. If you could pick a summary statement for 1 Peter, that might be it. After that, you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish strength, and settle you. Look how He finishes this passage in verse 11 of 1 Peter 5. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And that's essentially the end of 1 Peter. Then He spends a few moments talking about some specific Christian brothers and sisters. But you mean ultimately it's all about God? Yes. To bring Him glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Suffering is part of that. But we often don't think of it that way. We think suffering is a bad thing. Well, I have to endure this bad thing because it's God's will. What if we looked at suffering as a positive thing, as something that brings God glory when He uses it in our lives, something that brings God glory when we respond to it properly, brings God glory when we grow because of it, when we get perfected and strengthened, established and settled. That brings God glory. Doesn't the Bible say, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God? Wouldn't that include how we respond to trials? Bring glory to God? So in the end, what Peter's telling us and finishing this is saying, you're going to suffer. It's God's will. God knows what he's doing and why he's doing it. And in the end, ultimately, it's all about God getting the glory, which is why we're here. If you had to pick a reason, why are we here? To bring God glory. Amen. Our Creator, who died for us and saved us, we're here to bring him glory. Whatsoever you do, to all to the glory of God, the Bible says. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6:20. Glorify God in all that you do, including how we respond to the suffering that's going to come. It's going to constantly come. It doesn't matter if you've been saved for a year or 50 years. There's going to be suffering. But it's part of God's plan. He knows what he's doing. And he is using it in our lives to perfect us, to strengthen us, to establish us, and to settle us. What a blessing. He tells us in advance, I'm going to use this in your lives for good, for positive. So now we need to learn to respond like Paul did. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He said, I'm going to stop complaining, I'm going to stop asking God to change it, and I'm going to start thanking God for my trials. It's all about attitude, isn't it? After that, you've suffered a while. Praise the Lord. Let's pray.